Yeah. Another episode of the Alski Show, getting ready to get down. I want to dedicate this show to SMZ, who passed away early this week. Another brother gone. And to my boy Payne, who left a year ago this week. Shout out to Alexis in Texas. Good luck on your eye surgery, sweetie. I hope Daddy gives me a call. Let me know how everything goes. Big ups to Oink Art Limited. Make sure you check out the website, www.oinkartltd.com. They got good specials. They give you shit as you buy shit. Take advantage of that $10 shipping. No matter what you get, flat rate 10 bucks. Big shout out to Below Poverty Level. Fade. Check him out on Instagram as Fade One King of Piss. That's right, the AA Mob. Big shout out to them, Moots, and the crew. I want to shout out Big Miles, Freight Monster, MT, my brother, JRC, Zeus, the Smash Brothers, Big Mike, and Fam561 in Florida. Also, a happy birthday to my little niece, Gabby. Once again, happy birthday. Big shout out to Verse in Miami, killing the freights as well. We coming down there soon. Get ready. Empty in cans and Fabricio's for all the dope flicks on your IG. Check out their page. Also, coming back to you, Street Art Expo. A couple of months from now, check out his page. Get all the details. I will be sponsoring the show. The Alski Show, OT City Truck Books, www.outtocrash.com. And to all the listeners that support the Alski Show, and a big fuck you to my boy Sloan. Go fuck yourself, bitch.
What up, Alski?
Well, you know I had to do that, right?
You had to.
I had to.
I understand.
You it's are been nothing a couple of but weeks. A fucking pain in my ass. I love you to death. We all know that. Shout out to my brother Sloan TPA.
Good looks.
Our guest today is a favorite of mine, a true blue street bomber from back in the days with a lot of stories. A great crew behind him. I don't know, I can't say much more than that. But I'm introducing to you Chris, 156 Crew. What's up, Chris?
Peace, Alski. And Sloan Boogie.
And Sloan Boogie. Make sure, remember, if he talks too much, we're going to knock him out.
Cut him out, man.
That's right.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question before we begin. Let's say if you were Howard Stern, who would Sloan be? Would he be Baba Booey or would he be Jackie the Joke Man?
Probably both.
I could be
because he talks so fucking much, you don't know who the fuck he is. But, you know, he had his thing on the Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah, right? I was
Old
on
Dirty.
The radio.
True,
yeah.
I remember that.
Old Dirty. And I'm sure they wanted to get rid of him, too.
Yeah. No, you crazy?
Yeah, listen, they sent me an email. They're like, yo, that guy's no fucking good. Straight up. They're like, yo, that's that fucking guy, man. You got to be careful. He walked in and he never left.
My dude, let me tell you, my white boys, they love me, my dude.
Yeah, but you know I love you. Also, you wouldn't be here.
It was a meteoric rise, actually. In the year 1999, I joined the Opie and Anthony show. You know, it's a long story. Make a long story short, and in less than 7 months, we were the number one rated afternoon drive time from 3 to 7.
That's pretty good. Nice. Did you get paid?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
That's what's up.
There you go.
As long as you got paid. I mean, I do this shit. I do it for free. I do it for the love, but one day I'd like to get something out of it.
No, big fan of the podcast, man. I've been listening a while. Always anticipate the intros because, you know, you always got the good intros going on and then the interviews and everything else. So, big fan of
it. I try. Yeah, I'm actually blushing. That's pretty fucked up, right?
Most definitely. So, it's definitely a pleasure to be here. Well, and you know, I know we've been trying to schedule it and because of work schedule and personal schedules, but we're finally here.
And Sloan schedules and all that good big mouth shit.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. What's up, Sloan?
Nothing. Good?
All right. That's it. No more. Quiet. We're fucking around. Right, let's get down to business.
Let's do this.
Mr. Chris, explain what brought you into this graffiti game
inspiration, lifestyle, in general. Break it down, because then we're going to ask you about 156,
yep.
The birth of it, the takeover of the man himself. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but...
Not a takeover, but, you know, the passing of the torch, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, the passing,
you know,
of the torch. Well, listen, I think it's a takeover, and for what he accomplished, I, you know,
yeah,
I think it's
it
great.
To the next level
and even before we get into that, the 30th year anniversary that Sloan invited me to, that I went to, and I froze my bald ass head off. Yo, that shit was cold.
That was a good event, man.
That was a great event.
Thank you.
Everybody in there was good people. And
yep, good vibes, positive vibes.
That's
everybody's
it.
Enjoying themselves. It was just
the vibe that night was very. Yeah.
It was great. It was great, and the artwork was, of course, phenomenal. Now, what got you into this grav game? As early as when and inspiration?
Probably, as back as 79, I guess, when I was 9 years old, being in the element in the mm-hmm. South Bronx. I grew up by Jackson and Prospect Ave by the 2 and the 5s.
Mm-hmm. And, of course,
and
2 and 5s were bombed.
And the IRTs were like the lines to watch. You know, for me, personally, you know, because that's what I was around, the IRTs, the 4, 5, the 6s, 2s and 5s, and, you know, just seeing all the lettering and all the cold cars that were going on and the throw-ups and everything. It was just a very busy line at that time.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I mean, the Bronx actually was a great place to get pitches, period.
Yep.
Whatever line, basically, you were on. I mean, it was just that. Yeah, you had to be there to understand that the Bronx had many, many, many writers, legends, kings. My favorites were Scene and Duster and many more.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't take that away from the Bronx, but I think the train era, it's a sin to say that it's gone, and I don't think it'll ever come
definitely.
Back. But, man, you know, listening to those trains rolling in, you know, whether you were down in
the screeching wheels
down on the ground or the overpasses, you had the best pitches there.
Yep.
You know? So, go ahead.
So,
that was basically where you were from.
9 years old, mm-hmm. I used to be. They used to take care of me, this lady. She took care of kids after school and this after-school program. And there was an older cat there. He was about 4 or 5 years older than me. He wrote Marsh, and he mm-hmm. was from John Adams Projects. And we were right next to the elevated station on Jackson Ave. So every time a train used to pass by, he used to look out the window, and I was curious. I was like, yo, what you looking at, you know? He's like, oh, look at the trains, yo. Look at the pieces and look at this and that. And after that, I just started, you know, doing the same thing and try to emulate him. Doodle on paper, do little throw-ups here and there, and just started elevating from there.
The actual noise of the train, when I was a kid, I lived by the 103rd Corona Plaza station. And my father didn't drive. He took a train to work, you know, so on and so forth. And every time I would hear the train, I would look to see if my father was coming down the stairs. And eventually, I started looking higher up, because before I would just look at the stairs as he would come down.
Expect Dad coming
down.
But
then I would just look straight up, and I would see the trains hit. But anyway, so it's the sound of the train. Your boys looking. You got hooked.
Yep.
You know.
And I wasn't saying that I was writing at that time, because
you
know, obviously I was 9 years old. But that's how the battery got.
Were
injected,
you interested
you know?
In drawing prior to that? Or?
Yeah, I was always into art.
I mean, every kid draws. I mean, if you see my 4 year old, she'll get paper and she'll squiggle shit, and you know, you try to make sense of it. You smile, and you know, being a father and all that bullshit.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, I was always into art, but the graph definitely elevated the mm-hmm. you know, the interest and spark to do different things. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you started doodling at the age of 9.
Fast forward, 83.
First tag,
83, my first pilot. You know, mm-hmm. everybody was, you know,
beautiful.
Pilot back in the days, green, blue, and black.
Where'd you go? You went to a layup, you took your first tag on the street, you took your first tag on a pole.
The first tag was in the project staircase, mostly like everybody else, going down the project staircase, take my tag, boom, the whole staircase is...
Now, did you tape up your markers? Because I used to tape up my pilot.
Yeah, I used to tape black electrical tape.
I used to tape them up because after a while, when you'd open them up to ink them, I would crack the motherfuckers.
Yep. The plastic head would crack.
And then the magnums came out, and I thought that was the best thing other than the fucking invention of electric.
Yep. But, you know, like, I know, like, when I caught my first tag in the stairway of my building, I thought I was fucking king, dude.
Yeah, because you killed the whole staircase, man. Sure. I used to live on the 13th floor, so you killed all the way down.
Yeah, all the way down.
And then
right?
when you did that, when you did the other side of the staircase.
You actually jumped all the other markers straight to a pilot ship. Yeah. My first marker was an El Marco.
El Marco, right?
Yeah, it looked like a fucking, like a street cone with that little base on the bottom. And them shits fucking smelled good, though, not for nothing.
Yeah, but stop sniffing markers.
You know, it was almost by... That was a good thing. Not incident, but, you know, I... When they're walking down the stairs, you know, this is the time when people just used to smoke L's in the staircase, you know, and the cats were there and, you know, they were taking tags. He's like, yo, little man, what you write? This and that. And, you know, they put me under their wing. It was this crew called B.O.B. Like from Carver Projects, Boys on Blunts. And that was pretty much the first crew that I got down with. And it was just through passing them on the staircase and smoking this and that. And ironically, the first time I started smoking as well, you know, there you at go. 13. So.
And at 13, what were you writing?
I started writing CRIZM. CRIZIM, not knowing about the IZM, but this was due to
Sparking Madism,
a neighborhood cat named Dar. And he used to write Darism. He was down with KA and TDS, and he used to hang out with like Delta 2 and these other cats up in the Hall of Fame, you know, Radio KA. And then, you know, it was like two blocks away from it. So I used to be on 104, Hall of Fame was 106. So that was like.
That was definitely an experience going to check that place out
from,
back in the
from
day.
Back then to what it is now is definitely a
what
lot
it
of
is now it's basically mainstream. I mean, you know,
and then you know they got trees in there now and benches. Back then it was just straight concrete.
It was just a schoolyard. Fucking if you walked through there at the wrong time, your ass was fucking beat down, robbed.
Actually, I have pictures on my Instagram when I went to. 106 in Park, you know, I went on a real fucking snowy day. And at that time, I wasn't say that it was at the height of my career. My flag was planted. And I remember going to the Hall of Fame and, we spent the whole day there. I took my pictures and Vulcan
especially
had done
when
the
Vulcan
wall.
Was painting, and you just spend the whole
Vulcan,
weekend when he's rocking it,
right,
you know?
There. Oh, it was T-Kid,
Sam
2.
Back then, what was it though? It was like because when I went there, I hit it a couple of times, but we did it while it was dark out, you know, because we were out of town. As you know, we were from
Vulcan.
Queens.
I think Vulcan had the inn because he was one of the first ones to do it there with Stingray. Stingray 106, and he was the one that kind of like got everything together and started there.
Right.
So SR 106 and then Dez. And then, you know, they had the, you know, at the beginning, there wasn't the Vulcan. It was like, you know, the Scheme and the Days and all that stuff and the Graffiti Hall of Fame, Strictly Kings and Better. And then afterwards, that's when there was that big giant Dez and the Vulcan and the Stingray. Yes. And that was like the first top to bottom joints that I saw there.
Yeah, but they used to get busy in there. Yeah, I mean, not for nothing.
The time through there, man.
The time that people would actually take to do something like that was phenomenal. And, you know, with all of today's advantages as far as painting caps, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but,
for real, man. Vulcan, my man, used to do work and
put glitter on his thing, yo. He used to spray glitter on that shit and even used to do little white Pentel outlines and that. Yo, he used to get in, man.
My man was way ahead of his time. What is 106 and Park Harlem? What is it now?
It's gentrified, man.
Are they still painting in there? I mean, I haven't been there in years.
I think the last event they did with there was like 2 years ago.
I went to an event there, and it was... Yeah.
So, but are the walls painted now?
Yeah, right now it's painted,
Art or graph?
Graph.
Oh, okay, good.
Still has so at least they keep like 2 years.
I gotta drive by there.
But
they've
definitely cut the size down. They put a lot of
like I said, the
you
trees,
know, monkey
and the
bars.
And
I mean, it's good for the kids, whatever. And also about one thing about 106 and Park, they give awards to graffiti writers.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. First time I heard of that.
Yeah. All right, don't say anything stupid because I ain't editing nothing.
but you know, between growing up in the South Bronx and Spanish Harlem, you know, because I was still going to school in the South Bronx, even though I moved to Spanish Harlem in like 77, I was still going back and forth. So I was always, you know, seeing and paying attention to the trains and all that stuff. But growing up in the neighborhood, you know, after bombing the staircases and going to your friends, visiting your friends and bombing their staircases, next thing you know, we started hitting the sanitation trucks over by us because it was like
past the black books and everything. Yeah, and just fucking went to the trucks.
Just went to the trucks because it was like a daytime spot. You could just walk up in there on a Saturday in the morning and just go crazy.
Who kinged those trucks? Because I remember in Manhattan, I would always see Spawn.
Yeah, Spawn. That was afterwards. So we were hitting it early, 85, yeah. And then, but Spawn came through and started crushing it with like big pieces and
yeah,
big
it was like after a while, you know,
we were just doing shoe dye tags and blasting off like that. But Spawn really took it to the next level, you know. And he was another neighborhood cat.
I wonder whatever happened to him. You keep in touch with him?
I haven't kept in contact with him. But my boy Joves, I know him since he was like 11 years old.
He's TDO.
Another neighborhood cat. And I think he keeps in contact with him. So
wow,
but you know, with a lot of neighborhood cats that were around, you know, a lot of people. Dez was down the block on 106th Street and First, you know, and back then it was the Alpo days. Alpo was doing wings on 101st from like, you know, 100th Street to 116th Street. So it was just the element to be in, man. It was like raw hip-hop, fashion, culture, you know, bombing, dancing, and everything. Everything was encompassed into the culture, you know what I mean? So it was just an element to be in, and everybody was doing their own thing. If you weren't doing graffiti, you were breaking. If you weren't doing breaking, you were a DJ. If not, you were just being a B-boy and just looking fly and going to the clubs and this and that, you know what I mean?
So. And this creativity that you described was born in the hood.
Yeah.
This creativity that you just spoke about and described, the dancing, the graffiti, the putting together of the clothes, the fashion,
BVDs.
The rap,
BVDs.
BVD. Oh,
you
my know, God.
You had the long sleeve BVD, yeah, and then you had the tank top BVD, different color, yeah. And then you had the laces to match with the Adidas. You'd be like, what?
And then you had the little La Tigre
shorts with the same color.
This was born on the streets of New York.
And this was with very little effort.
You remember the sweet all pants? They were like a blue with a red stripe going down the side. You used to get them at fucking Army and Navy. You don't remember those? That was like the starching of the crease era.
Yeah, because I remember everybody started sewing the crease into the leaves.
Starching it.
when ironing it wasn't enough, they started,
you could stand up your fucking pants when you pulled them off. It was the craziest shit. We used to take them to the tailor.
Nope.
Yeah, because my mother did it once, and she was like, I ain't doing this. You're out of your mind.
You want to know something? We dress better than today's generation.
Like
we dress better.
We weren't even trying, man. We were just living the element, doing what we did for fun, you know?
You all Playboys?
Yeah.
I had gray leather Playboys. I used to wear pleats.
Desert Walkers.
Yeah. Oh, come on,
the mock necks.
Clocks.
The name belts.
Puma. Damn, man. I got to get mine, man. I have an Alski belt buckle somewhere. In
fuck around. Saturday morning, Orchard Street. Delancey. Yep.
That's where everybody used to get Orchard's
still the same. I've seen some
Orchard's
photos.
Orchard's still the same, but it's not. You're not going to get those classics anymore.
Yeah, you ain't going to get those prices either. You're not getting those deals. I remember going over there and buying a fucking Obama.
Yeah.
Yep. Dude, them things were like $300 back then. We got it for like $150 because we bought two of them.
$2.
Like you definitely ain't walking in because you would actually be able to haggle with them.
Yes.
Now you go into a store, they're like, nah, B, that's the price, bro. That's it. Want it, take it. If not, keep it moving.
And in the Bronx, we had Jewman's. I don't know if you heard of Jewman's, but that was a place where everybody used to go get
guys
and everything.
Yeah, you know what? I do remember that. That was on a big avenue.
By the 2 and the 5.
Shit.
By Simpson. I think it was by Simpson or Intel.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I would drive by there as a kid, and I would see Jewman, and I would laugh because, you know, it's Jewish.
Yep.
You know, here's Jew man in the middle of, you know,
the Bronx, you know.
The Bronx. Yeah, I do remember that spot. I remember that.
But after that, then, you know, sanitations, I hooked up with my boy Baya 3 and Har. And they put me down with High Post.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just started, you know, bombing around the block, around the neighborhood, this and that. We started doing a few layups.
What was your favorite layup spot?
We were on the 6 because that was more closer to us. We used to go to Zariga or either the Harlem layups. Mm. But I got busted at Zariga one time, man. So
what happened with that when you got busted?
Man, it was me and my dude Kick Cool, who's another neighborhood cat that used to get up a lot. And, you know, we were in the middle of the cars doing our things, doing insides or whatever. And little do we know that somebody was watching us from the other side of the station. So, you know, we were done. We were like, oh, we're going to be slipped. We're going to come out on this side and then, you know, go down and be out. But, you know, we got out, got on top of the platform and started going down the stairs. His partner was there waiting for us. So we started, you know, trying to run and this and that. But it was a wrap, you know. It was a wrap. We got bagged.
You know, and well, I my bus story is a fucking is epic, but we'll save that for another time.
But yeah, we'll save that for the Sloan episode.
Another Sloan episode.
Yeah, there you go. I'm ready to cut him off already. Should we cut this fucking guy off?
All right. But it's at that moment. When you're cuffed up and you're
fuck,
in
fuck
and you're
adrenaline.
In transit station,
knocking,
you know, it's at that point, yo, you it's like right there you decide, well, either I'm gonna keep on writing or I'm gonna quit.
Nah, but you're mostly, you're not even worrying about getting arrested and this, that. You're just worried about your mom's beating
your
ass.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
That's everybody's thing,
in the back of my head, I was like, damn, man, I got to call my mom at 3 in the morning. Yep. And like, you know, yep. And they never got to hear it. And
then when you go home, you got to worry about
mommy's going to smack
you.
Know,
beat down, the slipper, the fucking dough roller. Yeah.
But come to think about it, man, I wish I would have done more back then because it was easier back then, man. You just, you know, you got busted. You went to clean trains at Church Ave on a Saturday.
What?
Mop and whatever.
I clean trains at Bedford.
And niggas do it again the next weekend, you know.
Do it now and you're getting the fucking key.
That's my only regret is not doing more and more, you know.
Yeah.
And doing more pieces because I wasn't really piecing back then. I was always into piecing, but I got into piecing much later, you know.
Unfortunately.
So were you basically a train guy or insides, outs?
Well, not much. Insides, you know, we used to go to layup, but I didn't go as much as my other boys went, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try to do insides and do little motions here and there, but then I started getting into the piecing.
I actually liked the motions.
Yeah.
It was fun because you just jump on a train, you know. I mean, I would get on the 7.
Ah, that's amateurish.
I would take that into the city, and by the time I got back,
boom,
I mean, you're switching out trains.
There, you know?
Hey, dude, I wasn't
like
you,
walking
bro.
In between cars.
Yeah, I got my people. They used to do etch tags and doing motions. You know what I mean?
Dude, so I wasn't like Sloan,
you
know.
Sloan,
I gave him the compliment of, you know, one of the best floaters on the fucking trains, and now the motherfucker thinks he's the fucking the co-host here. I can't get rid of this fucking.
Yo,
guy. What the fuck?
Shout out to FN GTF.
Floater King. Shark fins.
Shut the hell up with your shout out because you're going to say something that you're going to call me up and say, yo, you need to edit that.
You and that fan definitely had the floaters, man. I got to give it to you guys.
But listen, Sloan had a signature throwy. Plain simple.
Classic.
And honestly, your floater of yesterday, not to disrespect you, is 10 times better than the shit you do today. I'm telling you straight out. You think too much when you paint.
Yeah,
and
I'm looking out for the FBI, the CIA.
I
gotta
and
look
I
out
told
for fucking
you
drones.
That. Seriously, he looks at the wall for an hour and he's like, should I do this? Should I do that? I'm like, yo, dude, make like
don't
you bombing.
You.
Make like you bombing. You gotta let it flow out your
you
fingertip,
bro. Do like Alski and JRC. You brothers is crushing.
Yeah,
every other
I don't
want to
talk about
the
that.
Pitch,
yeah, let's
you know what I mean?
Nah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Alski, JRC,
Big Zeus.
Shout out to Big Zeus.
Yeah.
I see you, fam. I don't see you, Alski.
Yeah. Smash Brothers right here, boy. Yeah.
But,
we got our crews. We rep our crews, but it's Smash Brothers.
During one of those ventures out to the Hall of Fame, that's how I eventually got down with 156. And for a long time, you know, it was very like kind of foggy who was it that put us down, because it was me and my boy Baya that got down at the same time. But Baya
from
3.
The Bronx.
Yep. Well, yeah. He's from Spanish Harlem now. Well, okay. He was from Spanish Harlem.
But Baya, isn't that shit, man? If I'm not mistaken, Cher 37's boy, is that the same Baya? Okay.
Yep.
Shout out to Cher 37 as well.
We got TPT. Put down, and then it was eventually Rack 7, rest in peace, who put us down. But then I also met John at the Hall of Fame as well, and that's what really solidified it when I told him that. You know,
and John is a true gentleman. Yeah. I met him at your event, and what
John
a great
is
guy.
Doing it, man. He's doing planes, doing bottles of Perrier.
He's elevating,
man. He's nonstop.
When you paint Airbus A320,
You know you're doing something.
And you're not doing something commission for them.
Yeah,
he put his name. He put a tag
put
up
his,
on that.
He got his tag up on that jet.
I got to agree with that. You don't need to prove nothing to nobody if you got
that
shit.
You
right
do
now.
That.
That's
Yo,
it.
Hey, what's up with that hat? I like that hat.
What? Afalski?
Afalski. What's
oh,
up?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna fucking. Yeah. You know what? That's your dues, B. You know, you're gonna put it right there.
Oh,
so,
I gotta
that's
pay my dues. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, shit. If I can't pick on you, who the fuck am I gonna pick on? So I can't pick on my daughter. She'll kick my ass.
Fast forward the 90s, I was pretty much non-existent. I got married young, and the 90s was a wrap for me. So I was out of the game and during the 90s. You know, always still doodling on paper and this and that. Lost contact with a lot of people, but...
What was the comeback?
The comeback was in Montreal, because I moved to Montreal in 2001. After
how did you
the,
like it over there?
I loved it.
Life is different there, man.
This is what... It's like, whoa, so...
All right, should I shut Sloan's volume off?
Oh, God.
I got to hear the Montreal story.
So, you know, due to the September 11th events, which I was affected by, we decided to move up to Montreal, to Canada. And when I went there, it's like New York in the 80s. You know, everybody was drinking, you know, 40s, and the 40s were like 10%, you know, in this Cheeto. It's not wow. no 5, 6%. It was like 10% 40s. Everybody was... smoking in the street, this and that. It was just like a cool vibe, you know? And then I met my boy, Zek, and he actually thought I was Creese from France, which is C-R-E-E-Z. But I told him that I was Chris with an I, and we just hit it off from there. I started painting again. I did my first piece with him back in 2005. I got in contact with John again. I told him, you know, I got a couple of heads over here that are good. You know, I want to start a little chapter off in Montreal. He said, go ahead, go for it. And from there, I started jumping off and then started reaching out to everybody again, you know, in New York, you know, and across the globe, and trying to, you know, connect everybody again to make it a unified thing. Because during the 90s, pretty much the only one that was pushing the crew was Omni in New York, you know.
Right.
Omni was holding down the crew on his back. And then the cats in Paris were just like... wreck,
killing,
taking wreck,
off. It's totally, clock, totally a different, different atmosphere.
Yeah, they were just going at it, and because of John, you know, he moved out there in '87, and he just, you know, expanded the crew with everybody that he was putting down over there. So in Europe, the '90s was like, you know, they were holding down 156, and then after I got everybody connected again, that's when we started just like, you know, the resurgence and everything.
Quickly,
like
I don't want to take you away from your commentary, but I have to ask you this. Has New York fallen off?
You know, everybody looks at New York, man. You know, we always under the microscope.
This is true.
And unfortunately, always. Unfortunately, I believe we have, you know. There's a couple of cats that we can hold it down and everything, but, you know, the ego is too much. You know, people can't put the egos aside and be like, okay, you know, if I could take two members of every crew and be like, yo, put egos aside, put crew aside, and let's just paint every weekend and show what New York has, and then I think we can definitely, you know, put it back on the map.
Dude, the creativity started here.
Are you saying that on a bombing or on a permission?
Well, not bombing, because I don't bomb no more, man.
No, I'm saying, well, your opinion, does that...
To put people to paint, it's just like, you know, for me, it's like permission walls, you know? Many people shun that, you know? But
how funny is that? I just get a text from my boy JRC. We were just commenting on garbage trucks.
Yep, I see that.
Of course, my brother sends me a picture of a JRC on a garbage truck. Yep. That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yes,
shout
indeed.
Out to JRC once again. Yeah, yeah, brother, I got you.
Yeah, I saw him last weekend or the weekend before when I was doing that.
Nice pictures, by the way.
Hoax. Yeah, so
very, very nice pictures. And but, what was that all about anyway? Because when JRC posts, he just puts certain words. He don't explain nothing, and you're like, all right, what's going on?
Here's the picture.
Hoax,
fucking going your way.
In Montreal when we were doing the Meeting of Styles events, and he had driven up with his other peoples and all this stuff, and that's the first time I met him. But we never got a chance to paint since then. You know, we was always like, yo, let's paint. And he finally, you know, gave me the opportunity to come down and paint with him, and we rocked it out, you know? So big shout out to Hoax.
Yeah, that he gets nice too with the
paint. He's been doing it, man. He's doing his thing.
Shout out to the TMR brothers and Flushing Risk QV.
But, you know, New York will always be the mecca of style, you know, culture and everything. It's just
controversy.
I think I agree with you
100%.
Not, I give it to the street bombers.
Yeah,
too,
I give it to the street bombers.
There's people that's holding it down for 30 plus years, you know, man.
Yeah.
Easy, Vifa. You know, send four. A lot of cats, you know, still doing their thing and with no disregard of what's going to happen and how stringent the laws are these days. You know what I mean?
But as far as leading,
guys, man, they're crushing it too. You know,
as far as leading the world as the mecca for graffiti. Graffiti was, well, Philly, you know.
Listen, they say it came out of Philly.
We have.
Yeah, they say
we have definitely slipped.
It was New York to me, my personal opinion, it was New York. It was New York that put it on the map after that New York Times Taki article. And then definitely after Star Wars came out. When Star Wars came out and it was shown across the world, everybody wanted to write. And everybody wanted to do New York style.
And how did you feel about that movie in general? To me, that was like that's the holy grail.
That's a must have, you know. Subway art, you know, those are like the key elements. If you want to study something, you know, you want to be a lawyer, you go to Harvard or Yale. You want to be a graph writer, pick up this, you know.
Right.
And learn the history.
I must agree with
just like
that.
With any trade, you know, you do the knowledge on the trade that you're going to be your expertise or you know, be the expert at, and you take it from there.
Unfortunately, there are, you know, the youngins especially, they don't take to their history.
No, there's people writing the same names as other people's and this and that. And then you try to school them on that, they get mad at you.
You got to give some of these guys credit, though.
They do put in their work.
Yeah.
Some of them do know their history. So, you know, we can't just say the new guys, you know, because you can't. That's not fair. Look at me being all fucking Switzerland here.
Yeah, right.
No, it's true. It goes both ways, you know. But if you got a pre-sweet tag that's been rocking since the 70s and then somebody just goes over, it's like, yo, recognize who you're going over, you know.
Yeah.
You leave that shit pristine, you
know. Yeah, you know, that's kind of fucked up because I you know, a couple of months back, I mean, rest in peace, Korn. You know, he had a back of a truck. And
who went over it?
Someone copped a tag right in the middle of the fucking door. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember because it was obviously a no one. And,
fucking toy.
And it was just a sad thing to see. It was like, shit, if the truck was parked and I saw that, I would have fixed it. And that's, to you know, from my mouth to God's ears, that would have been taken care of. Because that's a sin. And people that don't understand the, you know, certain basic rules of the graph game,
I still buy tags, throw ups and pieces, you know. It depends on what's there. You got to cover it completely. Don't leave nothing. If you know the dude or whatever, give him a shout out, write his name, this and that, you know. But
you know what's funny?
I agree with that.
You'll
That's funny. I agree with that 110%.
You'll have a 4-year, you know, art student who went to the most prestigious fucking school of art. And then he'll present himself on the street in dirty fucking clothes,
the meter's going up
and everything.
You're hitting the peanut level.
And he'll come out and say, well, I'm a bomber. And
volume off. You know, but to each his own, man. You got to respect people that are bombing nowadays, because nowadays they're trying to throw the book at you. You know what I mean?
And it is a lot harder, not for nothing.
I ain't trying to lose my
career. I'm telling you, son, they got them drones
up
in the sky.
Else for that, you
drones,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Cameras, you know what? I wouldn't doubt it. You really think they got drones up in the air looking for
my nigga, they're looking for anything, my brother. They fishing.
I don't think it's a graffiti vandal squad with fucking drones. Listen. You know,
let's not give them ideas.
Let's talk about all the video shit, right? Argument's sake. You got all these people with fucking video cameras, cell phones.
Yep.
The video cameras on the corners, so on and so forth. Who in their right mind would take a job watching those fucking cameras all day long?
Give me $120,000.
Somebody wants to sit down and collect the check, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Think about it. How fucking crazy are you going to go? You're going to wind up like Howard Hughes. You know, that guy that went fucking nuts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, staring at a video camera.
I think.
Waiting for something to fucking pop off.
I think perhaps this conversation is better said off the air.
Listen. You think the feds are listening to the show?
If they want you, they're going to come and get you. Man.
Regardless. You know what? You never know.
Let me tell you, once the government wants to fuck with you, they'll fuck with you.
And if the government is worse than any organized crime in existence.
Once they get that social, it's a wrap.
That's it. And you know what? They got them all, regardless, whether you know it or not.
Yep.
All right. Now, let's get back to the graffiti.
Go ahead.
The graffiti is a little more entertaining than talking about the stupid fucking government that robs our tax dollars and fucks us up the ass all the time and all that good shit. But, you know, to them. So now you got 156 doing all these murals out on the street. You have events, you know, your parties, so on, so forth. Who holds it down today as one of the iconic members?
number one, John.
Yeah, John. You know, we got to give it up to John. He's the forefather of this whole thing. You know, him, mm-hmm. Kyle, Rack 7, rest in peace. They were the ones that started it all, you know. So you got to get the utmost props to them.
And the 156 came from, I'm assuming,
yep, where John, the name of the street. Yeah, where John used to live.
156th Street.
Yep, in Broadway.
And that's amazing how a number could actually stick around for an eternity and be such a well-known crew. I mean, I give 156 a lot of props and respect. And
back, man.
To have you here is an honor, a true honor.
Appreciate it.
I personally enjoy seeing the work, you know, quite a few occasions, you know, you're passing uptown and, you know, you see a beautiful-ass fucking wall, and
yep.
There you go. You see your 156. I mean, even at the event, you guys had that wall across yep. the street.
And the thing with us now is that we encompass all elements. You know, we got bombers, we got, you know, pieces, we got mm-hmm. people that do graphic design. We got all elements. So it's like not just one thing.
It's like everybody
has their own style, but we right. all form together as a collective.
Which is a good thing. I mean, it's nice to see the unity in the crew
yeah.
because that's kind of hard to...
And then we got the young dudes, then we got the right. older dudes, and then the original members and everything, you know?
You can't say every crew today is like that, because it's not. You know, everybody preaches, you know, family, family, family. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, are you boys really fucking family?
Yeah.
Or are you fucking dropping dime when you get back?
Nah, we're all chilling, we're all drinking together, we're all celebrating birthdays and this and that together, you know? So it's definitely a
wedding
family
here, wedding there, baptism.
Get drunk.
But no, see, I didn't point that towards you. I'm just saying in general.
It's just not a writing thing. It's like, oh, let's get together. Yeah. Right? We hang out together as a clique, you know what I mean? So, you know, when John gave the crew to Set, Set had passed it on to me because he started getting into, like, you know, music and production and all that stuff. So, you know,
right.
big up to Set. And then mm-hmm. once I became Prez, it's just like, you know, I try to unify everybody and try to run it like a, you know, like a corporation, so
there
to speak.
Go.
You know, you got to follow up. You got to have goals and initiatives and follow up on those goals, you know, and try to meet them, you know.
I understand that for sure. So what do you have in store for the future? Any events coming up? I mean, something that we should know about?
We would like to get another show. You know, we had the mass transition show after the that 30th anniversary event. It was based on those Toy Tokyo trains. And, you know, we're trying to see if we put together another show and try to pick up a good theme for it. So that's in the works. And just painting, trying to paint more walls and trying to be more creative, you know, trying to outdo the previous year.
And how are you doing as far as, like, sponsorship? You guys, I'm sure, got sponsors,
yeah,
you know,
we got, you know,
up here and there.
We got people that
watch us
and all that.
How hard is it to land someone
sometimes it depends,
to help you
out?
You got to paint the side of a fucking building to fucking get a sponsor.
I don't know about that.
It depends, man. It depends on how persistent you are and you know, trying to you know, do the right pitch. You know, you do the right pitch and they'll be interested and you reel them in, you know. But we've been doing good. Like the Bronx Brewery sponsored our 30th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
John, he did a bottle Bronx for that breweries. That Rum Clement had everybody
yeah,
tore up.
Wow. And the Perrier water.
The Perrier was the backup, you know.
Shout out to Pabs 156.
Pabs O.
That's funny because I remember walking into that event and the first thing they tell you is do not write on the walls, do not
write in the bathroom.
Period.
There's always that one dude.
And then you get fucking Sad to walk in. Yeah, I know, Sad, you listen every week. Yeah, we're talking about you.
What up, Sad?
He walks in
and he's told. I'm sorry. I told him. I said, yo, my dude.
And what's he do?
Don't bomb anywhere in here. This is a museum, my dude.
We paid money for that.
You know,
and he caught the bathroom.
Yeah, and I'm walking
sick
to the bathroom, and all the way to the bathroom says no tags.
Big ass.
And I get to the last door.
Yeah, you know what it is with
Sam? The door and bang!
I gotta speak on Sam's behalf. Sam's like a kid in a candy store, and his mother's telling him, "I got no money. You're not getting no fucking candy."
He's taking it anyway.
And the motherfucker took what he wanted, and he took the spot on the wall. End of the story. He's a kid at heart, and he'll always be who he is. And that's what makes Sass sad.
It stays in the bloodstream,
that's
man.
It.
I tell you that.
Shout
much.
Out to
Look
the
at
brothers.
Us, you know, we're over here, almost
that's
pushing
fine.
Middle ages, and we're still in the bloodstream.
Nah,
you know,
I'm 32.
You'll never get rid of that fucking itch, regardless. You may, argument's sake, if you're pretty much dormant, eventually something's going to land in your hand and you're going to be like, all right, fuck it. And you're going to catch something regardless, yep. whether it's a fucking blockbuster or a tag on a fucking mailbox. It's always in the blood. And I don't think you could ever get rid of it. Yes, that's indeed. The way I look at it. I mean, I know I can't get rid of it. I tried. I can't. I got my daughter. She likes it too. You know, but, and who am I to tell my daughter no? I mean, right now she's underage. So I tell her, don't get caught. Because then she got to worry about
the consequences.
A mother bust her fucking teeth.
There you go.
But
and then you catch the heat from the
yeah,
wife.
And I, and, right. absolutely. And it's the domino effect.
It rolls downhill.
It's the domino effect. But once she's of age and she knows what she's doing, you know, whatever she does, I got to support her. You know? And I'm not condoning it. But, you know, if she does, what am I going to do?
I'm condoning it.
Nah. Yeah, you?
Believe it or slow.
Oh, come on. This fucking guy, you know what? You come out with some off the wall shit. He really does. He really does. So give us a little more history about the upbringing in the neighborhood and just the bond and family feel of you and
we try to, you know, we don't make a, it's not a, not like I, it's not like I'm Napoleon or something like that, that I gotta, you know, everything I say goes. It's a joint collective decision on whether who we put down or the events that we do, it's all calculated. You know, we have a thing called the commission. It's me, Snatch, Jez, Hangman, Bind, and Set. And, you know, we meet on a regular and say, okay, what's this? What's going on? This is that. You know, and we plan things out. So it's a group collective on decision-making and the whole process that we do, you know. Of course, I could veto things, but, you know, we just take it from there.
Yeah, but sometimes it's better to listen than to shoot.
No, always you gotta listen, you know. You always gotta do that active listening to understand everything that's going on and comprehend, you know, the situation on hand.
Absolutely. In your opinion, you're a well-rounded person. You seem to know many people from many neighborhoods. Who do you see going places in today's graffiti art scenario?
Going places as far as,
you know, like shows and show. Things. I mean, I know, I mean, we all stick our nose into places and stuff.
I mean, I
what do you see out there? That's a better question. Who do you like?
Not who do I like or don't like, because, you know, I get along with everybody. I'm pretty humble, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely like what Hoax has been doing, you know, the way he progressed and started blowing up and just started doing big ass pieces and everything. Cause, you know, the way he's elevating, he's almost on the, you know, mm-hmm. doing the same thing that John is doing and elevating out there on the commercial market, you know, getting those sponsorships and everything like that. So you got to give it up to Cause. Cope, you know, a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, he's doing his thing, man. He's, you know, constantly booked and all that stuff, so I got to give it up to him.
Right.
Streetwise, you know, you got to give it up to Easy, man, because he crushed the city in the 80s and came back again and just crushed it again.
And
like
he's still,
80s,
and he's still going.
And he's still going with the big clones.
He should have been. He should have been the spokesperson for the fucking Energizer Bunny.
You know,
the motherfucker don't stop.
And he had nothing to prove, man. His legacy is already cemented, and he just came back and started smacking everything again. So you got to give it up to
absolutely.
Hats off again for being consistent. My man OJ still crushing it, you know, nonstop since the 80s. He's doing his thing, you know. Kel, 5MH, that's my dude. You know, he's not really active anymore, but he you know, held down 5MH for a couple of years, and they were just doing their thing out in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You and Jay, you know, JCR, I see you in the freights every other week, and I see new freights, you know what I mean? It's an action in this
yeah,
and that.
Yeah, that's
so
actually old footage.
I got to respect that.
That's old footage. No documentation.
No documentation. No time frame on that. You know, but from
absolutely.
What I saw, I know you guys are doing it.
Yeah,
man.
We're having fun.
And I, you know, I just gotta respect everybody that's doing their thing, man. Like I said, you know, Bapo, Ever, Era. You know, they just like three the hard way.
They're on Smash Mouth all the time.
Back in the days in the Bronx, it was Lace, Cat, and Crane. And
they
were three
Lace,
the hard way. Yo,
yeah.
Lace, Cat, and Crane, FA, and they were just smacking the streets around. You know,
Lace had that sick fucking hand style,
that
bro.
The hand style, the throw us. Remember the Lace throw
yes,
that
the
he had?
Was that dope, was but that hand style, bro.
Yeah.
Was he a lefty?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
You know what? Because the way his L used to hang,
yeah, the L
almost
to the
gave
a.
you the effect of a left-handed, you know, a southpaw.
Yeah, those were classic.
And
man.
He had such a fucking slamming ass fucking hand style.
Besta's another one from the Bronx.
Besta's still going at it.
beast mode. You know what I mean? Louis 167. They used to crush it. You know, Tyke used to hold down TFO on the twos and fives with Pose.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Tyke, you know, and Louis and all the brothers.
And they were doing their thing. But once the train started, they just started crushing the streets. So, you know, got to give utmost respect to them. My man, Say TCM, he's still active doing his thing. You know, I used to see him around the block all the time.
Say who?
S-A-D-E.
Oh, Say. Say okay,
TCM,
sorry.
The crazy mob. He was always, he was from around the way in the Bronx as well. You know, we had the neighborhood cats that you would run into. So it was like Tyke and Kent 3 and Bash, and there was Gizmo and Cosmo, RIP, you know, from TS before it became like Terror Squad. They were like, you know, doing handball courts over by Prospect and Forest Projects and all that stuff, you know what I mean? But, you know, I give big ups to anybody who's doing their thing, you know, today, man, because you can't hate, whether it's legal or illegal, man. Everybody who's keeping the culture alive, you got to respect that, you know, whether you like it or not.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
As long as they're true to it, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to, you know, condone any flower thingies or this and that, you know what I mean? And then graduates trying to do graffiti and this and that and trying to, you know, steal our culture like vampires, you know what I mean?
Graduate 4 years. Yo, is this mic?
Yo, I shut it off because you walked away from the mic. I was catching all the background noise. All right. You're all on. Right. You're okay. On.
So I'm 4 years out of college. I'm an art major, and I just start doing the side of buildings. And in 6 months, I got a sponsorship from
Yeah,
Lantana.
That's the thing, man.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. I'm not hating, son.
Yes, you are.
You're damn right. I'm fucking hating.
You're full of
motherfuckers.
It is what it
Strong
is.
Strong
boy. And there you go with the microphone. That's the cue. What do we got on shout outs?
Big shout out to Era 2 UK.
We getting ready to wrap it up before Sloan fucking breaks your speakers while you're doing your commute. So, big shout outs to All The Right, my brother George, for always supporting the cause. Sticker 5, dope store.
Come
nothing
check it
but
out.
Love. Check out the store.
My man, you go ahead. Look, yo, my dudes.
Take it away. Come on, it's Chris's show, though. So get your fucking shout outs.
You gonna let me talk? You gonna let me talk, my nigga?
Holy shit, man. This fucking guy.
My nigga, yo, you ain't looking fly unless you come to All The Right. You ain't got the right sneakers. You ain't got the right fucking shirt for that party, my nigga. You come into All The Right, you're going to get set up the right way.
Yo, did George throw you a pair of sneakers or something?
Nah, chill, B. That's all love. I know George. Man, I'm going on 30 years with George, son. Chill.
The flows, motherfuckers didn't know that I could kick it like so, like such. Ruler Dutch, take the clutch.
There you go. Oh, that's shit, right. Man. You got fucking freestyle.
Yo, Chris,
lyrics,
he got bars, my dude.
I love this culture, man. I'm encompassed to the whole culture. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get paid on rhyming, but I just love it,
culture.
Man.
Graffiti coaches, will never die. Just remember that shit.
The way I dress and everything, you know what I mean? Yo, shout out to 156 Crew worldwide. You know, my people's out in France, all over the world. You know what I mean? Shout out to KD. Shout out to CWK, TNC, DNA.
Snatch, Smash, Set.
Everybody, man. There's too many to name. If you forget somebody, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you always forget somebody.
West. OJ, Joves.
Yeah, no Jones, fire. TDO, Strong Ball, oh, Era man. 2 UK. No, yo,
fuck up my microphone.
RIP, Sane, Oz,
yeah,
Tone,
me.
You know what I mean?
Shout them all out. Rest in peace, REKW crew.
Shout out to
all the brothers that left us too soon.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Because once you're gone, you're gone, man. So, you know.
That's it.
If you try to make peace with people you got beef with now, because, you know, it's not even worth it, man. You make peace, be humble, and you know.
Just enjoy
chill,
life.
Because karma's a motherfucker.
Shout out to MBK Gotti and my man.
FN, what up?
Vic 2, the Baptist.
Jehovah, young OG, you already know.
That's what's up. What do you mean, who that? It's his show, though. Don't worry about who he shot now. Get the fuck out of here.
Yo, but I appreciate it, man. Word up.
Once again, it's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure.
And my lady Dev, so,
She supports
all our craziness, all the walls.
That's what's up. Right here at the Alski Show, bitches.
Ah.
And we
ready to wrap up another episode from
I'm ready to wrap it like
Queens.
A blunt. Push stunts, motherfuckers. Don't
you right. Better not say fucking trout, motherfucker.
And we are like a fucking trout.
Peace.
Fuck the fake. Much love and respect to everyone and anyone out there listening to the show. My brother Chris 156 and his lovely lady Devso.
Hi, Post.
Big shout out to my brother Sloan for always chiming in and
that's
fucking up the microphone. I gotta buy a new fucking screen for you, bro. We gotta get you that big one. You know, the big round one and shit with the fucking mic hanging from the ceiling. It's nothing but love.
It's
always
all
love
baby.
And respect in this fucking house.
It's all love, baby.
Spanish Harlem. Boogie down.
That's
worldwide.
Queens NYC. Get the money.
Big shout out to Ink over at Tough City Tattoo, Dose NPC.
And we out, and we out. Oh, shit, the music stopped. Peace!
That was good, that was good, that was good.
Look at that, we're going to leave it running. Oh, shit, I didn't hit stop. And that's what it's all about right here on the Alski Show. Raw.
I like it.
No fucking footnotes. And you still talking, motherfucker. I didn't even hit stop yet.
Fucking ass.
And we out.